All right. Welcome back. Not too jittery, are you? Coffee. Yeah, I don't get jittery anymore. I wish I did off coffee. Know that it's working at least. Why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this second session that we have together to continue to just learn about you, learn about your plan for our lives, and just continue to just figure out what we're to do and how we're to live. We thank you for the time we're given on this earth, and we just pray that we can make the most of it, take advantage of it. And we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are back. And if you remember, we are talking about the attitude that really that we should have when it comes to the Jew. And we're looking at that through Paul and actually through God and his word, which this specific verse is related to salvation. And let me just read it because I think it gives a good general idea about how we're to think. It's 1 Timothy 2:3. It says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." And the point before we left was, you know, if God desires this, then we should too. It's God's word. It's His desire, and I think it's something that we should desire as well, because we know that the Scripture includes everyone when it comes to the gospel, talking to other people, witnessing, defending the faith. You know, it doesn't exclude anyone in those verses. It doesn't say, well, you shouldn't talk to this group or you shouldn't talk to that group, right? And so the calling is there. And obviously with the calling comes a desire. And this is the desire that goes with that, the desire that all should be saved. Because the last thing you want to think about is someone that is in pain for eternity. You know, it's one thing to be in pain for a week or two or a month or a year, but what about eternity? I mean, that, you know, that's too long. Especially when you're thinking about not being able to get out of the state and condition that you're in the lake of fire is not something that you want to wish even on your worst enemy. I mean, it's something that's not good to think about. So, and again, God changes people from the inside out. So those bad people have can be good people. Those non-spiritual people can be spiritual people. They can be faithful people dedicated to God. They're just not there yet. And so the desire there is to see someone transformed by God, right? That's the hope and the desire that I think we have. And the Jews definitely fall into this category. They're just a small component of this, but they do fall into the category of that desire. And the all men. That includes women too. That's how the Scripture uses it, right? So that's something to think about. So if you've been wondering, you know, what can I do to bless the Jews? I would say here's one of those things. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. I mean, that's one of the greatest blessings that anyone could ever receive, right? Salvation. Being saved. So, and just back up two verses and you realize it says, first of all, then I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made in behalf of all people. I mean, it's including, you know, all people, believers, unbelievers, and it's listing things here that, that is with good intention, with goodwill. You desire that people, not only are saved, but come to that knowledge of truth. You know, that's an interesting thought to think about, that God desires not just that people be saved and stop there. He desires that people continue to grow, continue to come to a knowledge of Him. And so we should too. And I think that's the discipleship component of ministry, right? There is a gospel component of ministry. There's a lot of ministries out there that support the gospel. And there's also some ministries that support the coming to the knowledge of who Jesus is. So there's two components of that. And God doesn't want us to desire one without the other. Obviously, you want to see someone growing in the spiritual life. You want to see them in a good place in the spiritual life. Sure, you want to see them in heaven. That's definitely the first start, the first place to go. But what about after salvation? Then what? That's the big question. And there's a lot of people who are confused about after salvation what? And Satan is very well involved in that area too. And he loves when people are confused because it's an area that, you know, if he can stop you at salvation, he will. But if he can't, he'll try to stop you in the growth phase. He's very good at that. So be careful. There's also a lot of false teachers out there as well. So another thing about this is, you know, we don't necessarily know when we're talking to a Jew. Unless you get to know them, maybe, right? Unless you get to know them, but we don't necessarily know who is a Jew and who isn't a Jew. So another thought around this would be to pray to be in encounters with them. Pray for times that you come into contact with them, right? To be able to talk to them. I mean, we don't know if they're a Jew or not, but does it really matter? No, it doesn't matter, right? The reality is that if they need Jesus, they need Jesus. And they may get there through you. So that's maybe a very important conversation or an important attitude that you need to have at that moment, because that example that you may be setting has an impact on people. You know, it's amazing to me, if you've ever experienced helping someone out in the spiritual life, you may have said a half a sentence, and then later on they'll tell you that few words that you spoke changed them. It did something in them that to you it was just you barely remember the conversation, but to them it stuck and it did something inside them that had an impact. And you know, that's God working through people is what that is. And it has an impact on other people. You may not think much about it, but we've got to be prepared to be used by God, essentially, right? If we're not prepared, He can't use us. So pray for encounters. And pray for them in general. And Paul has something to say about that too, about prayer. Colossians 4:2, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So, you know, if you ask, well, what can we do? I would say follow the very first command in this verse. Devote yourselves to prayer. By the way, this is a general overarching command to Christians. Devote yourselves to prayer. I think the women are better at this than the men. But it doesn't relinquish our responsibility to do it. We all need to pray consistently. We all need to devote ourselves to prayer, right? And this means what this word means. It means to be persistent and consistent in prayer. And you can see how we're going to do that. And I like how it adds on the second part here. Because I think this goes along with the devotion to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. You know, keeping alert in something means you're aware of what's happening. Prayer allows us to do that. Prayer keeps you in tune with what's happening with people, with what's not happening with people. It keeps you alert and aware about what's going on. And it also gives you an attitude of thanksgiving, because guess what? You're witnessing that prayer either being God saying yes are saying no. So number one is that the prayer is heard through the filling of the Holy Spirit, right? And number two is that the requests are made known. That's what this is telling us to do. Devote yourselves to prayer on a consistent basis. And through that, we can be alert and have that attitude of thanksgiving. And that's important because prayer is a very powerful thing that I think we discount often. I know I do, and I should put more emphasis on it. And I think that would apply to everyone, right? Prayer is one of those things sometimes we go to first, and sometimes we go to last, depending on what's happening and what's going on in our lives. So devoting ourselves means first all the time. That's that request. Make your request be made known to God. This is one of those requests when it comes to the Jews and when it comes to their salvation. And think about the bigger picture here. God has a plan, right? They're not where they need to be. We're praying for them to be spiritually where they need to be. Hey, you never know. We get enough prayer, we could speed the rapture up, right? I mean, think about it, right? If the Jews get or start moving in that direction, you know, the ball starts rolling. Hey, it's time to roll into the rapture and tribulation. So anyways, answered prayers are something to be thankful about. And Paul is really, he's going to get into the specifics about what to pray for. And I want to read that verse as well. The next verse is verse 3. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the ministry of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. So you can see what's happening here. There's a general prayer. This is what you need to do. And then Paul focuses back on what he's doing, his ministry. And I think we can relate to everybody can relate to this, right? This is Paul's desire. This is what he's desiring. But he's asking for here. He's praying, or he's asking for prayer that doors will be open to speak the word of God. That's what he's praying. Pray that doors are open that I can speak the word clearly. Right? And that's another part of this, because so often we look back, we say, I should have said this, I should have said that, I should have made this known, I just didn't think about it. He's saying, pray for that, that I make it clear in the way I explain it. That's an important prayer too. And so going back to our verse for a second in Romans 10:1, now apply all what we just looked at to this verse. Paul's heart and desire and his prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Well, we've already talked about devotion to prayer, right? We've talked about being consistent, praying for their salvation, we see in this verse, and also praying for the fact that open doors happen so that we can speak the words of God clearly. Speak and have the opportunity to do those things. That's what Paul's concerned about. And I think that's our concern should be too. Opportunities. I mean, the opportunities are there, but the reality is sometimes it takes a request, believe it or not. You know, you don't want to use someone that doesn't want to be used in a situation. Right? I mean, I know God stretches us. He pulls us out of our comfort zone. But you know, when you have a group of people who are saying, I'll do it, well, that's the ones you want to use, because they're the ones that are motivated and volunteering themselves to go do it. Pray for an opportunity. God, put this opportunity in front of me. I don't think we do that enough. And maybe that's because we don't want the opportunity, right? We don't want to get in the situation because it can be uncomfortable. But make the request known. That's a legitimate request. Because what better person to use than one that says, I want to do it. I want to do it. You know, the desire is there. Check. Come on. All you had to do was ask. Got the plenty of opportunities. All you had to do was be motivated to do it. And you're in. So I would say add that to the list. If you want to be used, ask to be used. God is going to definitely pay attention to that prayer and answer that prayer. But again, you know, I think that comes with us doing our part in preparation to be able to be used by God. But I think you understand that. So, and then Paul goes on to describe after this verse what the problem is with the Jews, which is what we talked about. And this is verse 2. It says, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge." He's describing the Jews where they're at. And by the way, this applies today. "For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So this is describing what we talked about earlier. There's a new way of to live the spiritual life, and they're not seeking that way. This is really describing the stumbling stone, right? But it's interesting that you see right there at the beginning, they had a zeal for God. In other words, they have an intense interest in God. That's what the word zeal means. They have an intense positive interest in God, but there's the contrast. It's not in accordance with knowledge. Well, that's a problem because they appear to be on fire for God. Outwardly, they appear to be on fire for God. But guess what? The heart and the motivation on the inside tell a completely different story. A completely different story. Wrong motivation equals wrong service. And they're here obviously wrongly motivated because they have a zeal for God, but they don't care about God. They don't care about the word from God. See the disconnect there? They're excited about God. They want to serve God outwardly, but they don't care about what God says in order to do that. Well, that's, you know, that's a big problem. Because it goes back to establishing their own righteousness. The Word of God doesn't teach us how to establish our own righteousness. It describes it. It tells us about it. But it doesn't lay out a plan for us to do that. And if we want to do that, we can, but we have to reject God's Word. And that's kind of where they're at spiritually. And so all this to say, again, pray for Israel in these areas. Pray for Israel. And we already said, you know, you're not going to agree with all the decisions they make. I mean, look where they are spiritually. You're certainly not going to agree with their decisions. They're not Christian. They're not in line with the Word of God, right? So pray for those areas. Pray for those areas. There's a lot to pray about when it comes to that. And God can assist, obviously, in getting them to where they need to be in those encounters. So I think the next thing that this goes kind of in line with this that we can do if we want to be on the blessing side of blessing the Jews is keep up with them. Keep up with them. I don't mean you have to know everything about the Jews, but I do think we should have a channel, a source, something to where we can keep up with events, keep up with news, keep up with the truth about what's happening with the Jews, with their nation, with the people, with anti-Semitism in the world, here in the United States and there and in other countries like Australia. Everybody knows about that. But that's a good thing to do because it gives us an idea of that, I think, that alertness of what to pray for. what to pray for. Because without knowing what's going on with people, sure, we have a general idea. Satan is always going to attack the Jews. We understand that. But when you know specifics about what happened this week or this month or what's currently happening with the Jews, your prayers can be very, very specific. Right? And I think that's a good thing. So you're kind of in tune a little bit better with what's going on. Maybe even what countries they're currently dealing with. You know, that's a big one. Here's some of them. Currently they're dealing with the Palestinian territories at the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. This is probably the deadliest conflict, and it's ongoing. And this has to do with Hamas and a group called the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And that's from the October 7th event, right? That's still ongoing. There's still people dying. There's still people dealing with that war, and there's still people attacking from that event. Lebanon. Israel's in an ongoing conflict with Hezbollah. It's an Iranian-backed militant group. And that's along its northern border. It says there's a current ceasefire in place, but there's still sporadic fighting that continues. Syria has for years conducted airstrikes against Iranian and Hezbollah targets within Syria. Israel has for years conducted these attacks. And that's a good thing. Iran is another one. 2024 and 25, direct exchanges of missiles and airstrikes between two countries and the United States. Ceasefire was agreed in June, but the overall state of war continues. Yemen. Israel launched attacks against the Houthis. Qatar. I mean, it's ridiculous. Israel launched an airstrike on the capital city of Doha in September, targeting Hamas leadership. So you might be wondering, well, you're probably not wondering, why so much focus on one tiny little country? Well, you should know why. Satan understands why. Because these people are at the center of God's plan. Right? And Satan knows that they are pivotal in what's happening to them now and what happens to them in the future. So guess where his focus is? That's why so many countries are involved with Israel. With Israel. So small. And by the way, Israel wants peace. Historically, Israel has wanted peace. But they're not going to sit back and let terrorists run through their country and destroy it. And they're going to continue to claim their territory, which, by the way, they aren't fully occupying today. Biblically, they're not in their territory. They're in part of it. So the reality of this is nothing new. This is nothing new, right? There's two components of this war that we've been talking about. There is a physical component and there's a spiritual component when you think about the Jews. The physical side of this is Abraham, right? We think of race. We think of a physical race, and that's exactly what it is. The Jews are from Abraham. He's the father of the Jewish race, but Abraham is also the father of the Arab race. Remember, this has to do with races, right? With races, people groups that came from Abraham. And this is the reason why I say it's nothing new, is because this has actually been prophesied long ago. The opposition between these groups, So we have the Jewish race came through Abraham, Isaac, and the Arab race came through Ishmael, right? And if you remember about Ishmael, how he came to this earth, it was because of Sarah's impatience. Remember that? She became impatient because she couldn't get pregnant. And this is all keeping in mind that God had already promised them numerous descendants, right? A family and a continued line. But she couldn't handle the, I guess, the pressure. I don't know. You see that a lot. But girls get kind of antsy when they can't have babies. But she did wait 10 years. But she just, that was it. So what did she do? She said, well, here's my slave, my helper. She was a slave named Hagar. And remember, Abraham got her pregnant, and that's how Ishmael came onto the scene, which that caused a lot of problems. I'm talking about between Hagar and Sarai at that point, caused a lot of issues with Abraham and Sarah. Just a lot of problems came out of that. But I wanted to read you Genesis. But the reason why this is important is because Ishmael's descendants are the traditional enemies of the Jews. Traditional. From way back when, right? And that's where it started. It started with Sarah. Now, this is always the case, right? God has a plan. He has a certain timing. And He has a certain way that He likes to do things. And when we get tired of waiting, what do? Move over, God, I got this. I got this, and I'm going to do it this way. And it always goes south. Notice that every time it goes bad. And it did here too. Even though it was a legitimate, well, illegitimate child. Right? Because it wasn't by the hand of God. It wasn't miraculous. Remember, Sarah was past the point of age of conception. That was one of the kickers of trusting God to have a child. Isaac was miraculous because Sarah was in her 80s and he was born. Ishmael was not miraculous because he was not from God, right? He was a human choice that they made because they lacked patience, lacked faithfulness. So that's what you get. You get the results of human error. Genesis 16:11 describes Ishmael. The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers." Wow. There's the prophecy. There's the future. There's what's happening today. We have a bunch of donkeys of men out there that are still against everyone. Everyone, including against his own brothers. The Jews. Their own brothers. Wow. So, I don't know if you know any wild donkeys of men, but apparently they can cause a lot of trouble. They can cause a lot of trouble. Actually, we do know a lot of them because we see the terrorists and what they do. There you go. There's all the wild donkeys. So when I name all of these countries that are, you know, related to the Arabs, you quickly understand why that's the case. Why that's the case. Bad decisions. And granted, God already knew this was going to happen. Right? He already has taken into account our bad decisions, and He always turns them into His glory. Right? But the point still needs to be known that God is using the current situation for the good of Israel. Believe it or not. We need discipline too. Don't forget that just because someone is chosen and God has a unique plan for them, that He's just going to sit back and say, you know, I don't feel like disciplining them anymore. No, He's going to pay very close attention to them, like a father should, right? And it's no different here. But it was taken into account, and God is using these people to His glory. He always uses evil for His good, and He's doing that today. I know a lot of times that's hard to see, but this is happening. So there's going to be that enmity between these two people, and that's why the Arabs will continually try to take their land and occupy it. And that's not going to stop. That's just not going to stop. It's unfortunate, but or fortunate, depending on how you look at it, in God's plan. Right? There's a reason for it. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take into account the individual Jews who are dealing with the hardship and adversity and persecution and death and destruction at the hands of Satan. Right? At the hand, because that's really what the Muslim Islam is all about. It's a Satan-led religion. It is. It's a false religion, and it's directed by Satan himself. So all that to say is, just know a little bit about what's happening. What's going on with Israel? What are they dealing with? Maybe subscribe to a few good sources. You get them right in your email inbox. And you know, you don't have to, I mean, you obviously know how email is. You just scan it, right? If there's something in there that you want, okay, well, that looks interesting, you click on it and you go look at it a little bit more. And I think that's a good idea. Here's a couple of examples that jumped out at me over the last few weeks. Anti-Jewish incidents soared by 600% following Hanukkah massacre in Sydney. So I clicked on it. It says the Israeli Ministry of Diaspora Affairs and Combating Anti-Semitism issued a report that covers various anti-Semitic incidents such as online content, verbal attacks, and damage to Jewish-owned property. The report revealed that prior to the Bondi Beach attack on December 14th, there were approximately 3,000 anti-Semitic online posts per day in Australia. The day after the attack, the number of anti-Semitic posts soared to 17,100, or 420%. On December 15th, there were 21,500 anti-Jewish posts, representing a 600% increase. It says, Diaspora Affairs Minister, this is a man, Amichai Chikli, blasted the Australian government for not properly addressing the rise of anti-Semitism in Australia. He said the Australian government is not doing enough to uproot the phenomenon at its source, he stated. The minister assessed that online incitement is part of a dangerous web of hatred that increases the threat to the Jewish community. This is a time for real and determined action. So, you know, I do think there are governments that do things and don't do things that are a problem to the Jews. And I'm including our government, right? I think mostly we have been good to the Jews in a positive way, but when you go down to a state government level, there are some governors that are anti-Semitic. There's no doubt about it, right? I'm sure you just heard about the latest new governor of New York, right? Who is not only the mayor, he's not only the youngest mayor, but he's also the first Muslim mayor. That's a bad combination. When you think about a wild donkey and you think about a young wild donkey, you got some issues. You got some issues. He was sworn in last Thursday by placing his hands on two Qurans. On the same day, he revoked his predecessor's executive orders that included the Jews. It says Mamdani's campaign said this was meant to ensure a fresh start for the incoming administration. However, the move also canceled an order for the city's authorities to use the IHRA's definition of anti-Semitism, leaving law enforcement and educational bodies without clear criteria for identifying anti-Semitic incidents amid a rising wave of anti-Semitic hate crimes in the city. And this is a statement by the Israel Foreign Ministry. It says, in his very first day as New York mayor, Mamdani shows his true face. He scraps the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism and lifts restrictions on boycotting Israel. Think about that. This isn't leadership. It's anti-Semitic gasoline on an open fire. Now, there's a lot more detail to that, of what he did and the implications of what he retracted. But I just wanted to mention that because that, you know, this is in our own country. And if you think this is politics, we're talking about the Jews here. We're talking about a biblical people that is dealing, that we're dealing with, that involves us and involves our government and involves things that we need to stay up to date with. And it involves, obviously, this new mayor. So, you know, it's interesting to think that a mayor is in place that is an enemy of the Jews. Enemy. Now, Mamdani himself is not an Arab, but the Islam religion is from the Arab race. That's where it originated, in Saudi Arabia, right? So, which is anti-Jew. So take it how you want. So another part of this study, as you know, the good part, actually we're up to our final point here, but the last part of this is not only how we can be blessings, but how we can experience blessings. I think we're not talking about bad things anymore. So that there is a positive side of thinking about, maintaining information on and staying up to date with and praying for the Jews, because the Word tells us that there's blessings that come from that to the people that, you know, have a desire to bless the Jews in that way and want to see them doing better. So we will pick this up on Wednesday and we'll talk some more about that area. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the Word. Thank you for the opportunity just to continually see what your plan is and what you're doing. And we know that even though things appear to be bad at times, we know that you're in complete and total control. And we thank you so much for being able to put our faith in that and to just to live our lives according to your Word. We thank you for all these things and we ask them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Right.